The following show is intended for a mature audience.
But it's really funny.
So, if you're underage,
go to bed.
Easily offended,
get over yourself.
Or just got a gigantic stick up
your ass. Watch it.
You all might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethel Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. It's time to waste 2 hours, Jethel Show tonight.
Hey there, dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us do.
I'm just glad I got my ale.
Get it started!
Back off, I get a tonga, mother free to use it!
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertaining,
mercantile, perfect and whimsical. This is what we call Jethel Silverwing Show.
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson, I know it!
Hello there, everyone. This is the Jethel Silverwing Show for August 25th, 2009. I am your host, Jethel Silverwing. With me, as always, my love, my wife, my girl, the burning of my loins, the baker of cookies, the tailor of fine armors, the girl downstairs, and the reason we have a mature audience morning at the top of the show is Ugly Jenna!
Hail and greetings.
Hey, Ugly, how are you doing today?
You always say that.
I know. As those of you in the chat channel are hearing, we're having a little problem. Or I should say, our scheduled guest is having a problem with Skype. If he's able to connect and get it going, we'll drag his butt back into the conversation here. We're just going to have to wing it until he can get in.
If the Sarmacs are pretty big. Maybe he just can't fit into Skype.
That might be true. I mean, they are pretty, maybe he's overloading it with his Sarnak wonderness or something. Okay, as a friendly reminder, if you want to join in on the mayhem, you can hop on to our in-game chat channel. Want to join eq2.guk.ogr, which is up and running 24/7. It's where the OGR elite come to meet. If you'd like to download our skits, interviews, Jethel's parodies, etc., you can go to kithacore.org. And if Gazern is able to get Skype going, we will drag his butt in as soon as he's able to. All right, well, things are happening. I guess we have an old member of the development team who is returning, or has returned, to EQ2, and they're proposing some changes. They're proposing some changes, some of which I think might be good, some of which I'm not too thrilled with. I don't see why this far into the game they're going to concern themselves with racial balancing.
Well,
why, you know, why change the way the races are this far into the game?
It might have something to do with the fact that people want to change the race with the race potions.
Well, that might
be too. If that's the case, you know, they're going to have to loosen those racial abilities up and not keep them so tied to the individual races, I guess.
Maybe.
The only thing I don't want to see is one of the things is they want to take ranger or scout tracking and tie it to a racial ability like wood elves. No, keep your paws off my tracking.
Yeah, what I think they're thinking of doing. I'm not. I mean, I could be just talking out of my ass here, but I think what they may want to do is, you know how you open up your achievement window?
And, yeah.
Okay, the first window is your character development and innate abilities.
Mm-hmm.
What I think they may want to do is for every level, make a set, make a new set, I should say, of abilities. That way, when you reach a certain level, let's see, do I want to use tracking? You know, I mean, the innate character traits right now are, you know, like, a little further on, there are masters and certain abilities and stuff like that. But for the most part, they're, okay, I want to be more fire resistant, I want to be more cold resistant, maybe I want to be more agile. But I think what they may end up doing would be, you know, I think right now it's starting at level 8, and then every, you know, dozen levels after that or something like that, you choose another innate ability. I think what they may end up doing is, all right, instead of just agility, you know, stat or resist buffs, let's throw in tracking in there, or bash, or maybe even the ability to use blunt weapons when you hadn't been able to before. I don't know.
No, not quite. And besides, they were talking about removing all defensive abilities, like the barbarian I made to make a bruiser or a tank out of. I chose her. The two best was like the barbarians or the ogres, because they have this innate ability to block. Barbarians have something called Tundra Smash or something like that. And it's a block. And I thought, hey, well, that would be good to have for a tank.
Right.
But only barbarians have this Tundra Smash. And the way I understand it, they want to open that up more to others in the in that class. That's where it gets a little tricky. I'm not sure, you know, first they're talking about racial traits, then they're talking about class traits, and it gets a little confusing. Because they were going to make some that they wanted to split them up to, you know, scouts and healers and tanks. You know, a gnome could be a tank, and that's not a, you know, but they're probably not as good as an ogre or a barbarian, because they have these racial traits that make them better tanks. And they want to get it back to, you know,
right, well,
any class, the goal, any race could play any class.
Right, the goal is, it doesn't matter what race you are, you can be the role that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be a gnome in a badass tank. It's not realistic, but that's what they're trying with, I guess.
But I don't think they should take some of these class abilities like tracking. That's it, inherent to being a scout. Mm-hmm. And opening that up to races.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I know what you're saying.
We got a race ability called Cameo.
Camo.
Camo. And which is, you know, great and fantastic if you are a wood elf, but you're not playing any class that can camo. Okay. But to the scout class, it's next to really useless, because we already have the ability to hide.
Right.
So,
guess we'll just have to see what they come up with.
This is taking place on the forum. They're doing stuff on test.
I haven't gone through the entire thread. Are people threatening to leave the game yet? Because you know that's coming next.
Oh, that's it. I'm leaving the game. I'm going to WoW.
Fuck you. Have a nice trip. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. I'm sick of that. I'm sorry. Every time they do something new, that's it, I'm out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. More room for me. Oh,
no.
Boy, less lag. Woo! Yeah.
No, not yet. So far, it's been more of some people like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a wood elf mage, they will have tracking. And
that's kind of weird. A mage having tracking.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that we're a ranger, damn it!
I know.
But at the same time, here we are, you know, we're playing Elquin and Jethel, and we're going around, like, really? I can do that I wasn't able to before? Woohoo! But then, you know, you gotta look at it from both sides, son. I am sure you're not going to refuse any any added abilities that they give us, but at the same time, you don't want to lose your tracking.
No, I want to be, you know, that's one of the things that defined us. And they were talking about disarming traps that they said it's useless. Excuse me? It does hurt if somebody walks over to an exquisite chest and just pops it, and the thing blows. And
I've been killed a couple of times because some idiot didn't realize, hey, I'm a ranger, let me disarm the friggin' chest.
Yep, and they
I want to see what's in the chest right now. Boom! Great, now you killed the cleric.
He was already low on health. I haven't seen anybody die from that in a long time, but we used to.
Yeah.
Good lord, don't pop the chest. Let somebody disarm it, please. But they're saying it's useless, but you know, I've used it, my disarming, quite a bit. Shard runs, there's a lot of traps that are just annoying.
Right.
At least I can feel like I'm a little useful besides pumping out DPS to disarm something, you know? I don't know. That was an ability we never had as a ranger. That was rogues only.
Right, right. Only rogues had lockpicking and disarming traps in EQ1.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll just have to find out. I mean, we'll follow it. And, you know, I've already posted the suggestion that, you know, in defense of scout tracking, you know, why are you even talking about tracking as a racial ability? It's a class ability. Always has been.
I know. That's why I don't understand why they're talking about turning it into a race ability.
Maybe because everybody wants tracking. Everyone wants to be the ranger until it comes time to fight.
I know.
And of course, you can hear the ranger community crying out in outrage, now we won't get any fucking groups! Thanks!
What? It's really
the only reason they were inviting us in the first place, because we could track! brother, I don't know. We'll see.
We will find out.
EQ Wood Elves never had track as a racial ability, unless they've changed that. We didn't start out that way. That was a ranger thing only.
Yeah,
rangers,
sure.
Bards.
Rangers, bards. Druids got it later on to a lesser ability.
Mm-hmm.
And rogues did not. I posted that on the forums. I was mistaken. Rogues could not track. Well. So, we'll follow it, and you'll hear our live report right here on the Jethro Silverwing Show. Now back to you, Biff.
Shit.
Why, thank you. The stock market this morning took a major nosedive as the gnomes have figured out a way to transmute stuff, worthless crap, into platinum.
Okay.
Sorry, just being completely random there. Can you imagine that, though? Oh my god, I found a way to transmute stuff right into platinum!
They'll be very welcome at parties.
Oh yeah. I can see it now, gnomes walking around with little monocles. Hello there, thanks for coming to my plat party. Have you seen Lovey?
Oh jeez.
Name's Thurston Howell III. Anyway. We do have a few announcements. We have birthdays. And I'm not going to do the regular old troll birthday. We're going to do the full birthday song, because we have a very special birthday this week. Number one, our buddy Halig is having a birthday this week.
Yay.
So we wish a happy birthday to our buddy Halig. Veldor, who is the son of our regular listener Trista. Veldor, congratulations on your birthday. And our very special birthday this week, come Thursday, Mr. John Smedley is having his birthday. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to play the full birthday song. Happy birthday, guys.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday!
to celebrate your birthday. Well, it happens every year. We eat a lot of cheese and drink a lot of beer. You should be good and happy that there's something you need. A million people every day, you're starving in the street. Your daddy's in the gutter with a wretched and a poor. Your mama's in the kitchen with a can of Psycho 4. There's garbage in the water, poison in the sky. And guess what we'll be long before we're all gonna die?
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Well, what's the matter, little friend? Think this party is the pit? Enjoy it while you can, we'll soon be blown to bits! The monkeys in the Pentagon are gonna cook our goose! The fingers on the button, all they need is an excuse! Hey! It doesn't take a military genius to see we'll all be crispy critters after World War III! There's nowhere you can run to, nowhere you can hide! When they drop the big ones, we'll all get fried!
Come on, boys and girls, sing along, okay?
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Well, there's a beggar in the alley and he's looking for a fight.
There's a urinate on the corner buying everything in sight.
There's a mother in the ghetto with another mouth to feed.
Seems that everywhere you look today there's misery and greed.
I guess you know the earth is gonna crash into the sun.
But that's no reason why we shouldn't have a little fun.
So if you think it's scary,
and it's more than you can take,
then blow out all the candles and have a piece of cake!
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
So a very happy birthday to our buddy Halig, Veldor, the son of Trista, and our good buddy John Smedley from Sony Online Entertainment. So what'd you get Smedley for his birthday?
You know, one of those things you put on your desk and they move with the magnets and stuff.
Not quite sure. Mean the little ball thing? And
yeah.
Oh. Now, there is a name for those things. I can't remember. Kinetic something or other. Can't think of what it is. Anyway. So, basically.
Would you get him?
What's that?
Would you get him?
Doesn't matter what I got him. You got him a set of balls.
Steel balls, dude.
Steel balls. All right. So, what else we got to talk about?
Oh, God. Well, the Shard of Love will be a, it looks like a single group instance.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, that's all I know so far.
That's all we know so far. We still don't know if we get to find Illyrissi at the end of it.
Don't know.
I'm not telling us crap!
They're also going to fix it so all these people that are burning through the levels, because you can get levels so fast, you'll have the ability to get your skills caught up.
Yeah, this week, I actually created an alt!
Shock and amazement!
Shock and amazement! I created a Dark Elf Shadow Knight. Hi, Domino's in the channel. Hello, Domino. You can tell Smedley that we all wished him a happy birthday. So, yep, I created a Dark Elf Shadow Knight, and I think I picked a great name. It's actually just a mundane name, but I like it. It's Christopher Valentine.
Uh-huh.
I like it. Christopher Valentine.
Everybody is shocked and amazed.
And it's evil. Wait a minute. Evil.
He's cute.
No, he's evil. Evil.
He's cute. Oh. Yum, 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 cute. Oh.
Yeah, there's a roleplay thing going on the Antonia Bale server. Random people have been getting mail bombs.
Mail bombs.
You mean I can open up my mailbox and they'll find a mail in it?
You mean a bomb in it?
I thought the guy was a bomb, you know?
Oh, God.
No?
Mail bombs! So what this terrorist organization is doing is they're sending...
We don't know who it is, do you?
Well, it's OOC, it's known. But anyway, it's... I got this letter. Actually, let me open up my mail, and I'll just read it. It's actually pretty good. I like it. We're playing it out. So let's see here. Da-da-da-da. A package. You discover an odd package with a bold, elegantly inscribed D on the front of its inside of your mailbox. If and when you decide to open it, it detonates with the force of a stick of dynamite. And then they put in parentheses below it, random 100, their result was a 58. And what we're supposed to do is do a random 100 ourselves as a resist, you know, as a saving throw. I rolled a 9.
I'm surprised you're alive.
Well, it is Jethel, you know.
Yeah.
Jethel is in the temple, healing up right now. He's deaf. And his hands have been blown apart. You know, it is Jethel, so. Now, if I had rolled an 01, if I had rolled an 01 or a, well, you can't get a 0, I don't think. But yeah, if I had rolled an 01, there would have been some major problems. So...
Jazz had to pull you out of the burning office.
Yep. Jazzalyn pulled me out of the burning office. I think I set it up pretty good. I moved all my furniture around so everything looked fucked up. And I put one of those flaming whirlwinds around my desk so it looked like the desk was on fire. Did that look good or what?
Yes.
Looked good. And then I used one of those hair of the dog things and knocked myself out. And I announced it in the roleplay channel there, and several people came to my aid. Not just the Legion, but I wanted to open it up. Because unfortunately, one of the things that we are lacking in the Legion is healers. So if I would have just kept this within the guild, good chance we all would have died.
Yeah, because I got knocked on my butt.
Yeah, you got...
I was in the hallway. The wind knocked out of me, so the first breath of air I got was a big lung full of smoke.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah!
Hey, Gazern is trying another computer to see if he can log in, so we might get him, I'm hoping. But, yeah, so Jethel's been laid up, and I'm using this time for him being laid up to work on the Shadow Knight a bit. Not bad, you know, we had that double experience weekend. I got him up to, he's almost 23 now.
Get him up higher if you let me come back.
The thing is, you power level me, and I went to go hunt alone for a while there, and I had no fucking skills whatsoever.
Well, by the time,
missed so-and-so. So-and-so resisted. You missed so-and-so. And then I start seeing my skills going up. You know, 20 out of 100. Oh, crap. No wonder I'm missing everything.
Well, still, you know, with the new game update, that's not going to be a big issue. Mm.
So, we're working on it. Kaloria, Kaloria is saying that I can come hang out with them. of course, they were there last week for when we were talking about Dark Elves. So, yeah. So, Jethel's all kinds of messed up right now. He's going to go back to 100%. It's just going to take a little while. So if anyone goes to the temple and visits Jethel right now, his hands are all bandaged up. And he's not hearing, let's see.
Yeah, you won't be needing the KY and the rubber glove for a while.
He's kind of hearing things like this right now. Kind of hearing things like this. There we go. All
right. I noticed you ignored what I said. That's cool.
Anyway. Oh, and you complain that I say that we need the adult warning because of you. Anyway, so yeah, Jethro's not hearing things right now, and it's going to take a while for his hands to get back to normal.
That's, yeah.
And to answer Nullick's question, Jethro already knows sign language. He's over he's over 800 years old. He does pick up a few things that aren't available to rangers regularly.
But getting him to put him back down is a whole nother thing.
What?
Nothing. Gee, I'm just
what the hell are you talking about?
Well, you said he picks up things.
So, yeah, Jethro knows sign language. Oh, Angela Coria just sent me a tell. How can you sign with your hands all bandaged up? He can talk. He can talk, he just can't hear crap right now. So anyway.
We use big signs.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we'll give him some poster board and a big marker. Be like, I'm okay! Yeah. Score! John 3:16.
No!
Yes, in Jethro's delirium, he has converted to Christianity.
No!
There isn't a continuum of gods. There's only one.
Can you imagine that? Role-playing that in this game?
He'd be burned as a heretic.
Yeah, they would all after. What do you mean?
Angela Corey is like, yeah, you want to make a big sign that says hot tub this way. Oh, brother. Anyway. Yes, Rychak's saying that the one god is the nameless. There we go.
Yeah, that would be true.
The nameless, he who shall not be named.
I thought it was he who has no name.
God, what was the song I was thinking of? God. Oh. Gee, I thought of a parody I could put together. I have to write this down before I forget it again. There. I've written it down so I can download the karaoke later and write the lyrics. Walk, talk like a Patonga.
Do 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 do.
Anyway, moving on.
Did you catch EQ Tuesday?
No, I'm at work during that.
Well, they were touching on a subject that's been hitting all of us, and I totally agree. I think.
What's that?
Well, there's just not a whole lot of people on anymore.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, it's summertime. We're always real slow.
No, I don't. Yeah, but not this slow.
Well, the thing.
I don't think
Han,
it's totally. What?
The thing is, not only is summer really, really a slow time, but this year we have what, 3 different games out that weren't here last year.
Such as?
Warhammer, Free Realms, and... Crap. Can't think. I thought there were 3. But anyway. Oh yeah, Farm Town! Anyway. But yeah, I mean, there are different games out now than there were here last year, and summer's slow anyway.
I still say...
But yeah, I mean, there are... I have heard of, you know, different guilds folding up because they just don't have any freaking members anymore.
And I still think it's because it's sort of in limbo as far as stuff to do. People are bored. They don't want to do shard runs anymore. They're sick.
I am so sick to death of shard runs. It isn't funny. Whoop, I think
so. What else do you have to do?
Not much, really. I think I may have Gazern here.
It looks like you've got somebody.
I got somebody dialing in. I'm hoping this is Gazern.
But we already, I mean, you know, Drell is one person that I'm trying real hard to find stuff for him to do. He is bored and wants to quit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he goes for more of the higher end stuff. He's been trying to do WOEs, which is that zone in Lava Storm, which you go after the next tier armor. Mm-hmm. And in the pieces that he needs either does not drop, or when they do drop, he never wins the roll.
Yeah.
Because each piece can be used by more than one class.
I mean, seriously, it was bad enough when, okay, here are these shards, and here are these armors and stuff like that you can buy with the shards. Tier 1, not too bad to get. Tier 2, you need thousands of these fucking shards. And now we're going to do you one better. We're going to open it up in Lava Storm. And now they're not going to take the shards. They want other crap. What the hell?
Have to go and get them out of...
Yeah, they're not shards. What are they? They're some kind of a token anyway.
Well, they're patterns.
Right, you got to get patterns, but you have to get some other type of token.
No.
Some of the jewelry does require some kind of a token. But,
Are still drops.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, all these freaking shards that you're hunting for cannot be used for the new stuff. So it's like becoming a millionaire in the United States and then going to a country that will not accept U.S. money. And it's like, oh crap, now I'm freaking poor all of a sudden. And, you know, they really should have left the Lava Storm stuff needing the shards we were already collecting.
They still do use them.
No,
you have to go, in to these instances and get this pattern first. You take that pattern and you end up buying, I think with a shard, the armor piece, okay? And then the next one up is, or wait a minute, the pattern in the current piece of armor that you got now from Tier 2. I'd have to go to Lava Storm in
Tier 2.
And then the next one up is the piece of armor that you got that's, and then some shards, if I remember right. But it's like you have to have a pattern, and then you have to have the previous tier armor, and then that gives you the next one, and then the one after that is that piece of armor and more shards.
But it's too much.
Rest type thing. And yeah, it's the patterns is a pain because each of the patterns can be used by more than one class. There's like three different classes.
Right. I realized the justification for these shards and stuff like that is, well, you can't buy your way into a new set of armor now. You have to work for it. Yeah, great, but we're doing nothing but... Grinding like that is not fun.
Well, you know, and then there's the people who raid a lot who scream and say that, you know, that's the only way to do it because that's how they go and get their higher-end tier stuff is by raiding constantly. And raiding's all fun and good, and I like raiding, but I've raided a lot, and it's always takes forever to get anything. Anything at all, if you're lucky. If you're one of the lucky few.
Hmm.
No,
just with
the... Because a lot of it's already assigned to different people that are there anyway, so I don't know.
Yes, but this whole shard collection thing, you know, shards to buy this, shards to buy that, but you only get, like, one at a time. Or if you're lucky, you can get into the Daily Devil. The only way you're going to get this shard stuff is if you have absolutely no life whatsoever.
You can get four at a time. If the zone is the Daily Double, you get two there. And then the mission gives you one. And then when you're doing it at level, you get another one on top of that. So each instance, if you do the mission and you're doing it at level, that's two shards. But yeah, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you, hun. It's a lot of work.
A little too much work, if you ask me. I'm never going to see my Tier 2.
Yes, you will.
Oh, sure. Not this expansion, but the expansion yet to come that hasn't been announced yet, I might get a Tier 2, a set of Tier 2 armor by then.
Hello?
Well, I can hear him, sort of.
Sort of. Gazern, turn up your mic!
Hello? Testing?
Hey, I think we got him.
Yes.
Tie him down.
Took a half hour, but the Rotunga has been removed from the gearbox.
All right. Lyra wants to know if I have my mythical yet. The answer is no.
He won't do it because he's seen me go through it, and he doesn't want to see spend the time to do it.
Now, those mythicals are tough.
Now, the way I'm looking at my mythical, it's, you know, it's friggin'...
You have no patience for the raiding.
I'm not a raider. I'm sorry. So anyway, our guest tonight, we're going to talk all about Sarnak to Gazern.
What's up, guys?
Do I pronounce that correctly? Is it Gazern?
Gezran.
Okay. Gezran. Sorry about that.
It's all good. You pronounced it right once when Fem was on, though.
All right.
You get points.
Okay, let's talk.
I'm not even trying because I'm in minus 50 anyway.
Okay, let's talk Sarnak. Who are these Sarnaks and why do they want my lunch money?
You've had a Sarnak take your lunch money?
Well, they tried. You know, they...
Oh, well,
Went home with every bone broken in their bodies.
Ooh, nasty. Kind of hate when that happens.
Don't try to take Jethro's lunch money. Okay, anyway. Getting on to the serious questions. Sarnaks. Where do they come from? Are they some kind of dragon hybrid type of thing? What is up with the Sarnak?
Well, the Sarnak that we players get a chance to play is kind of the end result of a big boiling pot of history repeating itself. The Ixars made the Dizok, which was the EQ1 Sarnak, and then they went around and decided to do the same thing the Ixar did and made the Corwin Sarnak. So, sure. They're an improvement.
So they are a genetically engineered race.
Yes. They were actually made in Korsha. You said you weren't a raider, so I don't know if you've been there yet.
No.
I've stuck my toe in there.
And promptly got it bitten off, is that what you're saying?
I don't know, is that the one that's got the water in it that you can't, you want to stay out of the water?
No, that's Vexar.
Okay, maybe not then.
Yeah, Korsha is actually in, like, the heart of Chardok, so you really don't get there unless you're trying to go there.
No, don't think I have yet. I've been in Chardok quite a few times now.
Mm-hmm.
I've never fought my way in. I've always rode on the back of everybody else to get to further in for Druid updates and Ranger updates.
All you gotta do is jump on that Griffin, and it's actually, if you look down along that ledge you walk around where the gatekeeper's meandering, mm-hmm. Look down, you see the bridge, and you can jump down onto the bridge and the gate's right there without having to fight.
Oh.
It's convenient.
Alright.
But, with the Sarnak, they were created as to be the Dizok super soldiers to fight against the Ixar, and when they were finally perfected, the prince, I think it's pronounced Selrach, I'm not sure, sent a whole lot of them over to the island in the Timmer's Deep, which they called Gorwin, and built the factory in there. The Sarnak that we play rebelled and captured it and turned it into their own little city.
Hmm. Alright. Okay, so my understanding is females are larger and are larger than males, correct?
Yep. It's a very matriarchal race. The males tend to look up to the females, literally, and...
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it has something to do just with reptiles in general. When me and my old friend Mondegreen on Delir server were talking about all of this, she had actually raised lizards, and the females tended to be more in charge as it was.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty typical in reptilian societies, anyway.
Yeah.
And the males, of course, are more colorful. I don't know. Actually, are the EQ2 females more colorful?
No, the males are definitely more colorful. I've had a friend the first time I met her walk up to my Sarnak and say, "Wow, how were you able to get those colors?" And so it seems the males have more options that way.
All right. Eggs or live birth?
Definitely eggs.
Definitely eggs. Right.
Yep. Ixars and dragons are both egg layers. So are the Sarnak. But when their eggs hatch, the Sarnak actually have a different sort of thing. Because they were genetically engineered and not exactly by professionals, their DNA tends to be a little unstable when they hatch, so they actually have to go to something called a growth tank, which you can find in Gorowin for about a month or so that they can age and actually live.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've been in there. I was wondering what those were.
Mm-hmm. Yep, those are the growth tanks.
Figure out what they were growing.
They were growing their young.
So it'd be like it was just on the tip of my tongue here. Crap. Those hot things to put babies in.
Incubators.
That's it, incubators.
Hot things yes. You can put babies in. Oh my god!
Ovens!
Yeah, let's see. Oven, microwave.
What's your, you know, what's a little, you know, toaster oven, that's it, yeah.
Toaster yes. Oven. Okay, we do have a question from Lyra from the Antonia Vale server. She wants to know if Ixars and Sarnax can crossbreed.
I don't think they can.
No.
I really don't think that they can. Because of the dragon in there, again with the unstable genetics, it would, even if they were able to, it would produce some kind of a weird, like, quarter Ixar, which would just look really odd.
No,
like an Ixar with giant horns.
Well, especially considering that the Sarnax are genetically engineered, I would say no.
Yeah, they can only really crossbreed with themselves.
All right, Sarnax keeping it real.
Is there still tension between the Sarnax and the Ixars?
Well, you see, that's the thing with the Sarnax. The Dizok ones that we've seen in Chardok and whatnot, they were what we called Sarnax in EQ1. They basically relinquished that racial name, taking on Dizok, Dizok, whatever, for themselves, after the queen and the royal family, and let the new slave race become the Sarnak. So there is still a lot of tension between Dizok and the Ixar, but the Goro and Sarnak really don't know what's going on because they're only about 100 years old and haven't really had any run-ins with the Sebalician Empire over there.
Alrighty. Let's see, what else can we ask here?
Ask and you shall receive.
Alrighty, I want 100 plus.
Sorry, but thanks for playing.
Of course, if anyone in the chat channel has any questions about the Sarnak, please feel free to ask, and I'll just say, Deader on the Kithakor server, if you are listening, we're not going to spend the entire time talking about their mating rituals. Like you were trying to last week with the Dark Elves. But speaking of mating rituals, I believe the Sarnak have their own little dance, isn't that correct?
Yes. Yes, they do. Are you a fan of Futurama, Jeffel?
I am.
You can pretty much imagine that being like Zoidberg's little dance.
But I love Zoidberg.
Everybody loves Zoidberg.
Commence with the Kappa!
Yeah, Sonics breathe fire, don't they?
Yep, that's...
Now that's a racial ability, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's their dragon fire. See, with Sarnax, they have a lot of the different abilities of kind of both sides. Ixars really don't have any kind of special racial ability aside from breathing underwater. But the Sarnax get a lot from their dragon parents. They can breathe fire, some of them, if they have a lot, if they're kind of the balance between Sarnak and Ixar and Dragon is more towards the dragon side, they can use the sort of magic in their blood to transform into a soft skin race to blend in. Some of them, their blood ends up accumulating to being a giant mana battery. Some of them even exert elemental magic like Boxer and Agafen do.
Hmm.
It really all depends upon the balance between the Ixar and Sarnak in them. Ixar and Dragon.
Alright. Clorny from Befallen has made a statement that your dance reminds him more of cross-dressers? No, Corsic dancers, sorry.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Thank
you. Okay.
Yeah, it's all good. But it should also be known, since Lyra's in the channel, that the Sarnak dance looks very good when they're dancing with all the little satyrs in the Frostbell Wonderland Village.
There we go.
Yes, you need to get like 5 of them next Frostbell just to stand around and stomp on the satyrs.
I was wondering why they were looking a little short this time.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah, and to everybody in the channel, I apologize to get the Ratong out of the gearbox. I had to just carry the gearbox off and move to a different computer, so...
That's alright. We went on a rant, so that's alright.
Oh, what about?
About shards and how...
They're changing the racial abilities.
Changing the racial abilities and stuff like that.
Heard about that. Every Kera Shadow Knight in existence is going to get one more step to being the perfect every class.
As long as they don't give them tracking, I'm okay.
No, they're giving Kera's tracking as a racial. Every Kera Shadow Knight will be able to track.
No! That's not right!
That's what I said.
Actually, if you think about it, a Karen being able to track does make sense.
It does.
Yeah, But that was a ranger thing.
I know.
I mean, before we know, all we'd be doing is standing naked in a field with a bow. I can shoot this!
Hello, I'm the bow! Anyone around? Hello! Lyra has a question. She wants to know if we're going to be having any cheese tonight. Oh, cheese it! Wants to know if there will be cheese tonight. I don't have them anywhere. I figured we were going to have this great in-depth discussion about Sarnax. What Sarnax do and what they dream of and aspire to.
You want me to? I can go on a rant. I did that this morning.
Go on a rant! Rant for
me! I practiced. Feel free to interrupt, though, if you have any questions.
Rant is what we do here.
That's true. Generally. You see, with a lot of the Sarnak, they also tend to follow, like, the Ixars and their whole caste system thing in their city. That's why we still have the division between mages, priests, fighters, etc. And the whole fighters section is mostly, like, their foot soldiers. The scouts tend to deal with the tactics and the military course plotting. The healers tend to the young along with the mages after they've hatched, if the parents decide not to take care of them. And the mages do what mages do. They make things blow up. But, what else do we got? grinding the gears again.
You're still with us.
Okay. I'm grinding my own gears.
Oh.
Yeah. I had all this a little bit ago.
So let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
As a Sarnak, do you believe that Lyra is a Frostfell elf?
Oh, yes, definitely. She's definitely a Frost.
Okay, so as you're growing up as a young Sarnak, you're taught the wonders of Frostfell, and the true ruler of the Frostfell Winter Wonderland is, in fact, Lyra.
Oh, yes, there's a whole Sarnak song to her. You kidding me? Whole Frostfell song with that elf.
I've heard it. I believe it goes something like... Is that
you,
right?
My friend. Right? You definitely know your songs.
All right.
You should be a bard.
I am a bard.
Exactly. You're a pseudo.
And now, my ode to Sarnak love. The end.
Okay.
You forgot to say rawr.
Okay.
There is a question in the channel about, why is Gorwin aligned to evil, supposedly? Well, you know, aligned with them on the other side.
With them.
That's actually one of the things I wanted to... Okay, memories jogged. We're good. You see, the reason that they were marked onto the evil side is because when they were created, their creators were wielders of the whole evil magic and the make things blow up and the absorbing life force and all of that. So when they went, they pretty much destroyed their creators and drove them out. What they have? They had scrolls about how to do this, how to do that, how to do all of these things, and so learning how to life tap as a Shadow Knight, or how to throw disease as a warlock, or raise the dead was just kind of a thing. They're not evil per se, but their magics are just their magic of, you know, what they were taught. They haven't had time to expand and grow and learn about this and that and the other thing.
What is exactly the other thing?
All of you light side. You should all come to the dark side. We've got cookies.
They're chocolate tart, too.
You said it. Yes, they are.
He didn't believe me. I don't think he's done it yet. He has not done the quest yet.
No, I have not done that quest.
He needs to go do the quest to get the chocolate chip cookies.
Lyra has a question. She wants to know if Jethel will ever pronounce her name correctly. And to answer that question, I will now pronounce Lyra's name... George.
Yes.
From now on, it is George... George of Restoration.
Oh.
The Frostfell Elf.
I would have called her George of the Cubes.
George of the Cubes, there we go.
Your way works.
So Lyra, from now on, shall be called George.
And it was... Lyra actually killed a cube, you know. I saw it.
Shock and amazement.
We were raiding in the sunken... No, not the sunken city. What's that place even called? The Sands? Silent City?
Uh-huh.
And one of the cubes rose out of the muck, and she had to kill it.
Lyra!
Yes.
Lyra, bad girl!
And then she danced in the treasure chest, and we all decided that every time she dances in the treasure chest, Nathaniel Marsh smites a cube.
Very nice.
Yes, that is how that went.
Very
indeed.
Nice, very nice.
But, also, little thing with, going back to the Sarnak.
Mm-hmm.
You see, one of the things with them is because they're a neutral city, learning all of the light magics and stuff, it does tend to slowly take an effect on Sarnaks as individuals. My Sarnak's name was Garaku, over on Delir. Still have him. He was a Shadow Knight, but he was influenced by a paladin named Siegfried. And so he ended up becoming a Knight of Karana anyway.
This paladin's squire wasn't named Roy. His squire wasn't named Roy, was it?
Nope.
Well, okay.
His sword was called the Balmung. Yes. And, so it's entirely possible for a Sarnak to use its evil magics, but still be a very, you know, a good, lighthearted thing. They're not necessarily Shadow Knights so much as the Dark Paladin, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I getcha. But of course, we all know there can be no darker paladin than Lyra George, the Frostfell Elf.
Yes, she is a dark elf and a paladin. Do you think she has an undead cube?
Probably.
Ah.
Probably.
Such a shame. Such a shame. Such a shame.
Alright.
She's the reason the game Portal had all those cubes. It was all for her. She was there. You just didn't see her.
Now we've offended Lyra's cubes. Cubes are not undead.
Cubes are good with, whipped cream.
Tabasco.
Tabasco.
We were having deep fried cubes earlier. She went LD, so everyone quick, like, pulled out their forks and started devouring them.
They're lime. They're good.
Yes. And then we named Zerzel the secondary Lyra when Lyra is not there.
Ah, I see.
Yes.
Now see, what you do is you take your cube and you put it in the oven at 335 degrees for half an hour until it's nice and firm, and then you take it out, take a knife, slice it into little bits, kind of like Spam. And then you put it on toast, put gravy over it, and then munch it, and you know, it's so good, yeah.
Yum. Even Domino eats cubes, you know?
What's that?
Even Domino eats cubes.
Domino loves cubes.
But the question is, are the cubes alive?
Yes.
There's always room for Jell-O.
You know, that's something I never understood about vegetarians. Oh, you're being inhumane to the cow. Really? You're eating that thing alive!
Ha! Excellent.
But it can't feel anything. How do you know? It can't talk to express itself.
Not to mention they put, like, nodes on trees and found, like, a heartbeat or something like that. Maybe it was thought.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cube tartar. Yep. That sounds good.
Cube tartar.
Eh. Tartar.
Tartar means, raw.
Raw.
Oh. I don't think I knew that's how that was pronounced.
Tartar.
Tartar. Steak tartar.
Now, of course, that's not the thing you put on fish. No, that's tartar sauce.
No, that's...
But tartar is a way of preparing basically raw meat.
Yes, yum.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yum, 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 yum.
That's how a Sarnak would eat his meat.
Tartar.
It's got yes.
Stuff.
What's it doing, precious? It's raw and drizzling.
Dude, excellent.
Thank you. I think I really do a nice golem impersonation.
That was amazing, though. That was amazing.
What were you doing then?
Ah, lucky. Lyra's going to hold a cube stock.
Lyra, we love cubes!
She's gonna hold cube stock. We're all gonna get together and hold hands, swing back and forth with our cubes. Going, we all love the cubes.
How do you pull the cube?
Cube diving! Ah!
Excellent.
I know, fill a room full of all those cubey guys and do cube diving.
Cube diving.
You can play Cubert.
God, I used to play Q-Bert until my fingers bled.
I loved Q-Bert. But I do like Thraxarius on the Gux server.
I'm not a vegetarian because I like animals. I'm a vegetarian because I hate plants.
Amen, brother. Speak the truth.
I'm for it. I like it.
Yes.
It's kind of like the, kind of like I like the answer I gave on Facebook today. We doing some polls and stuff like that. Let me get to my Facebook thing here. The question was, where the hell is it? Here it is. Should we omit Under God from the Pledge of Allegiance? I voted no. And
we really should.
It's not because I'm a religious man by any means, but more so, I really hate self-righteous jackoffs who try to change everything to be politically correct.
Yep. Leave it alone.
That's the way I feel about it. And another rant that I've been going on lately is Christmas comes after Thanksgiving, not before Labor Day.
Why? Are you starting some Christmas stuff now?
If you go into Costco, they have their Christmas stuff up.
No!
Oh, man, I hate that. You're not supposed... Oh, man.
You're not even going to Halloween.
By the time Christmas actually shows up, we're sick of Christmas. And it shouldn't be that way. When I'm going to sound like Grandpa Jethel here. Back in my day, we didn't see a Christmas tree until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you know, I mean, last year we went into a Walmart the day after Halloween, and all the Halloween stuff had been moved out overnight, and they had just all the Christmas trees sitting in the room.
Yep.
It was weird. They had Christmas carols playing.
God, like, give me a break.
It's a Lyra Wonderland.
That's why everybody should stay home and shop online.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, shop online until Thanksgiving. That'd work.
I would actually like to take out a newspaper ad just complaining about it. Like, screw you and your Christmas in August.
No, you know what you need to do? This is just a fantastic thing. You can do this. Any fast food restaurant that you happen to like. Go there and get, like, say it's a McDonald's, order a double cheeseburger. Unwrap it, march back up to the counter, like, slam it down, and just start shouting about how you don't want this burger, you want the burger on the menu picture.
There you go.
Yes, it works.
Oh, the one on the menu looks so much bigger than this!
Yeah, and when you do it, you tend to get free coupons out of it because they don't want you making a scene.
Yeah, those pictures, those burgers on the menu pictures look so much better. They don't look like somebody took it, wadded it up, smashed it, shoved it into a paper, and handed it to you.
Exactly. Although, if you believe the movie Super Size Me, all you gotta do is go to Chinatown for the perfect McDonald's burger.
Well, they take care in what they do over there, and everything.
Yeah, it's true.
So I can see them perfecting the hamburger.
Of course. And of course, you know, this conversation goes in really well with the lifestyle of the Sarnak.
Yes.
The Sarnaks are getting sick and tired of Frostfell being advertised in August.
I was going to say about the food, but hey, why not?
You said this rat was quarter pound. Well, but that's before cooking. That's pre-cooked weight. You like quarter pound! And flame everywhere.
Yeah. Exactly.
I would say a Sarnak would probably eat at Burger King more because it's flame broiled.
Could be.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
I do prefer Burger King over McDonald's on some things. On some things. Every once in a while, you just need a flame broiled piece of beef. That's what all I have to say.
But yeah. I bet you a Sarnak could get a job there real easy, too.
Oh, that's true, because we could flame broil anything. Just,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
Hand me a football.
But, you know...
Next, should open a little fast food restaurant in Garwin.
Dairy Queen actually used to have very good burgers, but over the last year or so, they've been using the microwave more and more.
This new Wendy's chicken are good. Sorry.
That's all right. All right, back to the Sarnak.
Yeah.
Those skinny, bony little guys. Well, big guys.
Well, now they're big. The original were nice. They were, like, all skin and bones. And
oh, I remember.
Now, well, scale and bone. Now, you know, now they got some muscle on them. And the thing is, with the Sarnak, if you want to really get, like, culturally comparison between real world and that, they are a lot more Asian designed. Like, their whole bloody culture is a lot more like Japan. They're centered on an island. They mainly eat, like, the seafood and whatnot. You know, you wouldn't be at all surprised to find a Sarnak out in the water, like, wrestling with a shark to get a meal. I mean, you've seen that giant one hanging off the docks, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he got caught?
you don't see any big fishing poles, do you? No! Bunch of Sarnaks went in there and wrestled his ass to the ground.
Exactly. Claws and teeth, baby. Do it the manly way.
Mm-hmm.
I still say that's where Feodar went, the giant water snake dragon from Timorous Deep.
Mm-hmm.
They got in there, they killed him, they ate him.
He was good.
He ate him and took his strength.
Now, I went over and I did all the little quests over in Garwin, and I was really shocked and amazed at how courteous and respectful the Sarnaks were to me. I mean, I've done three-port quests, and it's been like, you, slime, go do this! You know? And the Sarnaks were sort of, good to see you, glad you're here to help us out, you know, sort of thing, and it was like, huh?
Yeah. It's because they're not evil. They are legitimately neutral. I can guarantee you when Halas comes out, everyone there's going to be good aligned, but still neutral, just like Gorwin. They're really a very polite, very kind bunch of folks. I mean, the majority of them are kind of like
dark elves. Neutral. I would agree with that as a term for them. They're neutral evil or evil neutral.
Exactly.
They're going around with monocles, going, hello, darling, yes.
And they were well spoken. I was just in shock and awe, going, wow, this is not what I expected. I expected them to be sort of illiterate and telling me to go get my slimy butt to go do something for them. But no, it was different.
They're not barbarians.
No.
You fleshling. Soft skin.
No, that's the Ixar, though.
Yeah, it's Ixar.
They use the same thing. They use the same phrase for those, generally.
Soft
they can.
Skin.
Yes. Gotta love that phrase.
But you see, there are soft skin Ixars. Shizuka from the Legacy of Honor on the Antonia Bale server has actually had her scales filed down. So she's soft.
Well.
I would not say that she's not armored. But they took the edges of her scales and actually filed them down. So you can rub her the wrong way and not get sliced to ribbons.
Nice. Well, you can rub it the way with words and still get sliced to ribbons.
Exactly. But these Sarnaks, I don't know, they're all skin and bone and big and beaky.
Well, the thing is with the new ones, if you compare them to like the old school Sarnak, they are by no means all skin and bone. Those things are scales and muscle on like all sides. You know, one of these things, like take the dock workers again over in Gorwin. They're not using, like really using cranes or anything. They're lowering them down on the docks, and one Sarnak is hefting these things and carrying them around. They are an incredibly strong race because of their draconic blood. And if you find a Sarnak wizard, God help you that they're not throwing around the element that they are. Because a lot of dragons tend to have their own element. And
right.
The same goes with a lot of the Sarnak. If you find a ice Sarnak, generally the air is going to get a lot colder when you're around them, and that would kind of really up the power of their ice spells. The same would go for fire. Because they tend to radiate that element.
Hmm.
Not sure what a black dragon radiates.
8?
Maybe.
Malice.
An air dragon would just kind of break wind frequently, I think.
Ooh, that sounds really stinky. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I had to.
That's alright.
Oh, poison and disease for a black dragon. Yeah, that would be good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like Trakanon or Faradar.
Yeah. I do want to see Trakanon.
Trakanon looks really cool. I've seen screenshots. Haven't gotten there yet, though.
I have a different question for you. With Night of the Dead coming within a few months, what would a Sarnak dress up for? As?
Oh. See, that's fun. Last year's, Garaku pretty much ran around and grabbed all the masks that he could and just generally tried to scare the crap out of people. And not in the normal way. He'd use one of the petrified elf eyes, turn himself into an elf with the mask on, and then he'd just, like, rip the mask off and cancel the illusion and scare the crap out of everybody.
Well, yeah.
That would work, yeah.
Yes. You should see a Sarnak with the Lupin Delir mask on. The face gets, like, elongated and stretched.
Oh, I'll have to see that.
Nice, yes. Nice. It was fantastic.
Very nice.
One has to work. What?
Whoop, my, apparently went longer than I thought. Hold on a second here. Sorry, my ending music started. I went a little for...
Whoops!
Damn it, come on!
You gotta love the technical errors. Tonight definitely seems the night for him, doesn't it?
I'm having fun now. Okay. I got the music going again.
Did you get it right?
Yeah, we got it. Sorry about that, folks.
It's all technical difficulty. Yeah. You know, that's another thing with the Sarnak there. Technical difficulties with them.
How technical difficulties?
Say what?
What technical difficulties do you have?
Ah. Well, again, with the genetics and the whole unstable thing, if anyone's actually been into the Atreid's lab, the Lost City of Forshaw, the one that I think Elwynn said she stuck her foot in,
over
the Lake of Ill Omen. If you actually go down there, there are these black plasma Dezox that are, like, constantly bubbling. It's very creepy. Because you end up, it's an attempt to upgrade and it really didn't work. You know, and with Chardox Korshaw, that's their whole base. They tried to replicate their birthplace, the place that Atreid made them. And that's what they were using as facilities to create the Gorlum Sarnak. And for anybody who's actually gone down in there and actually seen the Overking, Elwynn, did you need the Overking or was it Venable?
I've been to the Overking.
Okay, so then you've seen that he looks like one of the Gorlum Sarnak.
Yes, he does.
There's actually a reason for that. When they perfected the Sarnak design, he basically thought to himself, I can use this. And actually used that genetic manipulation on himself to turn himself into what he perceived as the superior beast, improving even farther than what the Gorlum Sarnak had.
Yeah, because all his minions are the normal type ones.
Yeah, well, that's because every Sarnak in Chardok is the Dezok brood.
Right.
With the exception of the Immortal Guard, which I think are like a step above the Gorlum Sarnak, but a step below the Prince. Or Overking. I haven't found much. I know that there's a book, if you do a big Korshaw line of quests, that will give you some information about the Immortal Guard and the Sarnak Super Soldiers, but Lord knows nobody goes in there enough to actually figure out what the quest line is. So, Because nobody likes Shardock. I don't think anybody likes it.
So far...
It doesn't matter.
Like I said, I've never entered Shardock with a group and fought our way through. I mean, I was already in a raid formation. Somebody else had the other post, which grandfathered me in to get to that other post, even though I've never been there.
Yeah.
And that's it. I've jumped on the Griffin, flew over, and usually right around there is the area that we got to go, either dropping down to the Overking or running around the rim and then over to do the Druid Ranger updates. And that's all I've ever seen of that place. That's it.
Hey, we do have a question on the channel here from Verasi, or Varys, I'm not sure.
Varys.
Would like to know if Sarnax are aligned with any particular god.
The Sarnax, again, with them being genetically engineered, there's actually, again, a lore book that you can find out in Kunark. It's called The Unclaimed Eye. I'm sure Eloquent has it already. Which, they call it a Sarnak lore myth, or a Sarnak creation myth, which basically gave them divine creation from Thule. They really don't have any alignment to a god, but they worked and actually had this story fabricated so that they could not say, oh, we were a slave race created and manufactured. No, we were a lost race of Thule. So some of them will go with Thule based off that myth if they heard it as a hatchling. Others would go on and just kind of follow their own path if they were the first brood who actually fought their way free.
Alright, and Varys says, thank you for butchering my name, because they're never going to let you live that down.
Yeah, I really won't, because I used to call him Varys too.
Well, you know, we could just call him Versace.
Oh, yes.
Is he fashionable at all?
No, he's a little halfling. He wears armor. He's a knight. He's actually a fit halfling.
Fit halfling?
Yes.
He's not pudgy?
No.
Does not gorge himself on pie?
Well, maybe not when somebody's looking.
I was going to say, halfling without pie just isn't right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Paris tries. He's a strong knight of he is a very strong knight of Mar. He actually wrote a in-game book called The Book of Mar, which is sitting in our library.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But Paris is very much he's a halfling of a different color.
Nice.
He runs around in the shiny armor, swinging his sword. Although he's not as quite as devoted as a Froglock, but he's close.
Now, Sarnax don't want to eat Froglocks or anything, right?
No. They might eat some pickled Froglock from Boomba's stand, but then again, who wouldn't? He's
and
been
Boomba's,
there for 500 years.
Have you noticed that Boomba's got more pickles this time, but he still does not have any pixie pickles? He's got bay pickles, he's got Aerosite pickles, he's got everybody in a pickle, except pixies.
See, that was amazing. That was amazing that that was one of the fanfare bits that they decided to update. That they just gave Boomba more pickles to sell.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, but not the type I've been wanting.
Okay. Your buddy halfling there is trying to tell us how to pronounce his name. What is it? Fair ass?
What?
Sorry, at this point I'm just having fun mispronouncing people's names.
That's my gig.
Fair ass.
You're stealing my gig.
Sorry, hon. And we're calling Lyra George.
Yes. And Varys is right. I'm not going to let him live that point down. That's just it. Yep.
And of course, we have our lovely Ixar Shazanka over here. And let's see here. Klorki And
nothing remotely acceptable.
And whipped it. And of course, everyone's favorite trade skill developer, Domino. I'm not going to mispronounce that one, or she'll make trade skills hard for us again. Oh, who Domino?
So, is there very many female Sarnaks?
I'd say it's about 50-50. You know, when it comes to the whole mating thing with there, the Sarnak males tend to draw them with the color. The females draw the males with their strength and power and rawr and everything else with that. And, you see, the one thing you gotta remember is they were built to be a slave race, so the Dizok wanted them to produce as many eggs as possible, so I'll let you fill in the blanks there.
No, this is the Jethel Silverwing show. Go ahead, fill in those blanks.
I can't.
As they approach the female with a lovely bouquet of flowers, then they lure them back to his lair, where they perform their mystical dance. They dance around.
They lure them back to the dragon's lair, then promptly raid the dungeon.
Exactly.
Yes. And let me just say, it must be a very difficult raid, because, you know, when that raiding time hits, it just, it's on, man. It's on. Seaver Ace, there's your payback. Now you got something to laugh about with me. There you go.
I need some more ale here.
Jesus! Bring me ale!
Come on, Dwarf! Here you go, buddy!
Oh, thank you very much! Oh, that's the stuff!
Really?
Domino, let me ask you something. When are we going to get chainsaws?
Chainsaws?
Chainsaw!
Yeah, of course, Elfwyn. You need the chainsaws for dungeons like Stormhold, The Fallen.
Hey, look. They already have that gnomish mace thing that looks like it is a chainsaw. It's got a spinning gear at the end of it, right?
God.
All you need to do now is put another one in front of that, and another one in front of that. You got a freaking chainsaw!
Forget that. I want a chainsaw sword.
There you go. Linestrol.
Oh, no. You guys want a chainsaw sword, go to Free Realms and become a medic.
Ew. Never.
And then Linestrol is saying that he wants flamethrowers. Let me just say, we already have flamethrowers. All you need to do is knock out a Sarnak and put them under your arm and squeeze! And then he goes...
Yep.
Okay, fine.
Or call your local wizard.
That's true, there you go.
They tend to do it well, too.
Yep.
Or you could just go down to Nogafin and ask him to do his impression of a flamethrower.
Yep.
It won't last long, but hey, it'll work.
See, there it is. Lera has a lengthy mounted battle clock whirly blade.
That thing can get awkward depending on its placement on a wall, as I found out.
Well, there you go. There's your chainsaw. We have a chainsaw.
Yes. Could you imagine getting hit with one of those things?
A chainsaw. Oh, you go.
Chainsaw.
It's a whirly blade, but it's definitely not a chainsaw.
It's a chainsaw. And now we can go into unrest and start wiping out zombies with chainsaws. This
exactly.
Is my boomstick.
Right up until they start using their wood technology.
But there is a boomstick. You can actually get a boomstick.
Goblin.
For the wailing pigs.
You gotta keep goblins away from boomsticks. You know, one of those little giggle gibblers got into Gesmerin's house the other day, and he had a few of those. Yeah, it, needless to say, his skeleton house was not in good shape when he got home.
Ooh.
The golden cockatrice ate one, though. The goblin, not the stick.
Oh, all right.
Yes. They crapped out a little golden goblin statue. Very nice.
All right, Doomstick. Being corrected, it's not a boomstick, it's a doomstick, but still.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is it Doom?
Doom. Every time somebody says Doomstick, we need like a sound effect to just go dun dun dun.
Yes, Vader, the guy who did Vader Zim, does the voice of the guy in Wailing Caves. I interviewed him once.
You know, I still think it would be really funny, and there's plenty of time to do this, if Domino would like to pass this on to whoever needs to do this. I think it would be really funny. Okay, if you're in your house or your guild hall, you can do a /house and bring up the menu from your door that you would get if you clicked on your door. Yes. I think it would be really funny that if you did a... For Bristlebane Day, if you did a /house, a little halfling in a lab coat can come up to you and call you an idiot.
You're an idiot.
That would be funny.
Name him Hugh. Name him Hugh.
That would be funny.
Hugh the halfling.
Yes.
That would be a great Bristlebane joke.
That would be.
You're an idiot.
then have him do like a life tap whack with the cane.
Exactly.
Oh, that's even better.
It's a kill. Yes.
even Domino likes that idea. All right. Look for it this Bristlebane Day.
Now. Yes, now we got a party. Last year we had dwarf eggs. This year we got a halfling named Hugh.
There we go. So halfling shows up, calls you an idiot, limps away on his cane, and then pops some jum-jum pills.
Yes.
There we go.
Sarnak's like jum-jum, you know. Not just the halflings, but the actual jum-jum.
Oh, Jethel smokes it. If you're ever on any kind of channel that Jethel's just hanging out in, you know, be it Iron Toes or the Claymore channel or whatever, you're in a pub that Jethel's in, he'll take out his pipe. Jethel has a halfling long pipe, packs it, lights it up. That's how he relaxes.
I remember that from the day Maureen started throwing a pie bowl, eating a pie bowl behind a chair.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great little time. Crazy half.
Yep. Jum Jum is a very versatile root. You can dry it and, you know, make like a tobacco type thing out of it and smoke it. You can also brew it.
Make pies out of it.
Now, in EQ1, there was Jum Jum Spice Beer. Is there Jum Jum Spice Beer in EQ2? I don't know.
There's Jum Jum Drink, I thought. Spice Beer? That doesn't sound... familiar.
No, I'm not seeing it in our bartender.
And I don't know if it's a revisioner recipe or not.
No, but they did make a couple of really funny jokes if you guys have been through the Emperor's Athenium yet.
No, can't say I have.
Well, there is a boss fight about halfway through. The Ixar's name is Drago, and it's like being in a professional wrestling ring. You actually, to fight him and steal his buffs, you have to have your character stand on either side and do like a flex or cheer thing to get the crowd to root for your group.
Huh.
I heard of that. That's the last part of the rhyme thing that I want to go to. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to do it yet. I want to. It's just a matter of rounding up enough people to go.
Hey, you can count me in. I'll DPS. I'm a monk.
But I would love to finish that. But yeah, I heard about that. It's supposed to be really cool.
Hmm. Yep. But then up in the stands, there is an Ixar called... I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Cut Off Me Own Tail. But yes, that's why he's now serving snacks. But he has things like Cabalas Coca, Cabalas Cola, and Skyfire Mountain Dew. Yes.
Nice.
Is that also the same vendor that sells those platforms?
Yes, for 10 platforms each.
Yeah. But I've seen them, and they're great.
He also has that awesome Sarnak snow globe. No idea if it plays music or not, but I want to find out. Yes, he sells a Concord Sarnak snow globe.
Hmm. Oh, I definitely got to get in there.
I know. I want to get in there too, but I actually don't have money.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of. I just want to smash things. Then they got the Hallway of Infestation in that place where you walk in, it's just a bunch of Scorpicus statues.
I can't link the platform, guys. They want me to link the platform. It's basically a square, it's a rectangular platform that can be enlarged to the point where you only have to use two to make a second story in one of the Freeport houses, actually. Ooh. There is...
it's a floor. Hieroglyphs, that's right.
Hieroglyphs around the edging. That if you trigger it before you place it, like turn them on, they will, you know, flash a pattern, you know.
Yes, you make the platforms aroused and they flash you.
Yeah.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. But they're flooring, basically. I call them platforms, but they're great.
Yeah, I want to get my hands on those for Gezrin's place.
What zone is this? This zone...
Domino has already answered that. She says Charsis West.
Okay. Is that where?
Yes.
All I know is the end quest that you need to do for the Rhyme faction line. I can tell you the name of the quest, too. Hang on.
That's the name of the quest? Holy crap.
No! Give me a
How the hell do you spell that?
It is called Enter the Athalium.
Athenium.
Athenium.
Enter the Athenium.
Yeah, enter the Athenium. It says that it's, I thought the entrance to it is in JW somewhere.
Yep, it's down in the Howling Stones.
And yeah. Domino says that, there we go. Ploy on the Guck server has just linked the platform.
See? It's cool. Now all those little word text things will glow and, you know,
if
you turn them on, but they are so nice. Flooring. They're so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
It does look nice. But 10 it's plat each?
10 plat each.
Wow.
And unlike the food, they don't let you buy, like, recipes for it. You could actually buy provisioner recipes to get, like, the Cabalas Cola and whatnot. Mass produced. But that also costs 10 plat.
Once you have the zone open, you can go back after it's cleared. So you can go in with a group, clear it, and then go back with some money and get the stuff you need, from what I understand.
Yep. If you, can get the money.
I don't know. I mean, it's a nice floor and all, but I don't think I'm going to spend 10 plat on it.
I would buy two of them just to put away. I know I'd
And then later on, they make it as a... They make it as something that you can actually make in trade skills.
Yeah, there. That one's, this other one, it's illuminated, and the hieroglyphs sort of float up from the platform.
Oh yes,
a little sparkly effect. I mean, that is so cool.
They also need to put more of those Charsis pillars out there, rather than just one in the Rhyme quest. That is
you need a second one to balance things off.
Yeah, there were people buying them for, 7 plat in the chat channel the other day because they wanted them for fish tanks.
Yeah, you need a couple of them at least.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
Okay, so what else is there about Sarnax that you'd like to tell us that we haven't brought up?
They can turn a mean tango?
They can tango!
Yes. Just watch out, they have giant feet. Bones tend to break. But if you can manage, that's when it's awesome.
The tango.
Yes. They can also make fireworks.
Well, just by sneezing.
Pyrotechnics, what can you do?
So what happens if you, stuff a Sarnak inside of another Sarnak, and then catapult them into space and, make them explode? Nice big firework then?
Probably.
Alright.
But the question is, how would you get a Sarnak inside another Sarnak? They're pretty big. Their mouths ain't that big.
Well, you just cut one open and then sew it shut.
Oh, poor guy.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
So, as a Sarnak, what do you think of me?
You?
Me! It's all about the Jethel, baby.
Yeah, well, I think you'd make a wonderful snack. Damn. Maybe with a side of lobster, you know?
I'm turning into Delmon.
You are?
What do you think of me? Apparently. It's all about Jethel. No, wait, I'm turning into Delmon.
Depends if he was, like, really, really hungry or not.
True.
Garaku liked your songs. I don't know. Could some of your songs actually be, like, actual bard tunes on the game?
I suppose some of them
My
could.
Question to you.
I suppose some of them could. I haven't thought about it that way when I'm writing the songs.
Because I remember I'm probably going to get sued for this one, but I actually had a bard who sat there and sang Lock Up the Bar, Here Comes the Halfling once.
Oh my god.
Yes. Great. I pulled up the lyrics and I was sitting there typing them out.
Nice.
Yes, it worked. Don't sue me. I'll send you 50 gold.
Only 50 gold?
That's my settlement.
Well, alright.
Okay. I'll send you that dragon scale.
Dragon scale.
Here you go. This is valuable.
Don't tell anyone.
Okay, no problem. Only the, you know, three people that download this podcast will know.
Yes. Here's an interesting bit. Mm-hmm. I never thought about this one.
What's that?
It was a fae who was a warlock, and she decided that she was going to cast Scale Rot on Garaku once, on my Sarnak, and she actually sat there on his shoulder eating his scales and said they tasted like potato chips. So apparently...
Oh, there goes my dinner.
Yes, so apparently Sarnak scales taste like potato chips if they have scale rot.
Pringles!
Sour cream and onion, I'm imagining.
If they're green.
No! That's just... Oh.
That's wrong. Are you sure that wasn't an Arisai?
Yeah, surprisingly. It was just this cute little fae. And what's funny is when she got yelled at, she just kind of laughed and then cast a spell to make all the scale rot scales like fall out faster.
Interesting.
And she bagged them up and ran.
Bagged them up, put a little salt in it, and ran for it, huh?
Pretty much.
Ew! And the Sarnak stood there scaleless?
He had a chunk of... Yeah, he had a bald chunk for a while.
God, that's just wrong.
It was all pink and pasty.
Well, that's true, you know. Sarnaks are soft skin underneath their scale, so...
Just like any dragon.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so, do Sarnaks like their tummy rubbed? I mean, are they like other lizards where you go up and rub their tummy with their eyes closed? And
yes. They'll even kick their leg. But the real trick is actually getting them to balance on those spines on their back. Yes. I suppose if you really wanted to try, you could have a Sarnak stand at the top of a hill and push them and they'll do like a Sonic the Hedgehog thing.
Okay, we do have to announce a ding. Krellic has just dinged to a level 51 conjurer.
Yay, Krellic! Rock on!
Congratulations, Krellic.
You get the Super Sarnak salute. The triple S.
Super Sarnak salute. Okay, I have the all-important question.
Yes.
The all-encompassing question. Who do you want to shoot the Cowapult at?
Ooh, I say we aim it at Brace. He needs the Cowabolt tonight.
All right. We'll load up the Cowabolt here. All right. Pull it back. And let her go.
Hit him.
Nah, we got Nicotel.
Ooh.
Poor little Vertonga.
He's a fun Rotunga, though. He'd be into the thing. He'll probably drag it off and make it into wine somehow. Next time we go to the fancy, that'll be the special.
Yeah.
I'll
be serving hamburgers.
Oh, yes. Cheeseburgers. Made with the cow's own milk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired. I've had a long day today.
Yeah, same here. We had an absolutely horrific experience today.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Oh. Well, you see, there was an apartment next door. My mother decided that she was going to buy it and move out. And she rented it. We went in to look at it, and apparently it had been kind of like a hub for various drug users.
Oh,
and
lovely.
Alcoholics who have been down there for God knows how long before they were evicted, and they left all their stuff. So when we walked in, we found holes in the walls, various drug paraphernalia, a lot of alcohol bottles, etc. So now the police are going to go look at it.
Lovely. And the landlord just left it that way?
Yes, she did. She hasn't been in there.
Oh boy.
Well, yeah.
Dude, where do you live?
out in the middle of bumblefuck nowhere. I hope I can say that on the air. You live in the middle of nowhere. Pennsylvania, you know. You got nothing.
So there were a bunch of Amish people doing drugs.
Hey, man, they don't have electricity. It grows in the ground. What do you want?
Well, all right, then.
Yes. The worst part, though, is when they actually drive the horse and buggy intoxicated. I mean, and what's messed up is they're not intoxicated. They got the horse drunk.
Nice.
I don't know.
Seamus, look out. The old horse is stoned again. Yes, he be tripping ass.
Oh. Excellent.
Brother Baynard, he be tripping balls.
Oh, good lord.
See, the thing is, though, out here, out in, like, Vegas, California, we end up with, like, you know, various beauty pageants, all that. Nah, the Amish, they've got beard trimming contests. See what the weirdest design they can get.
There you go.
Exactly. It's not all potatoes and various other vegetables like people think.
Quilt.
Pickling contest.
It's all about
strange
the hat.
Things that you can pickle.
Ooh, yes.
What you got there, Seamus? Well, they got me a pickled Sarnak. What the heck is a Sarnak? I don't know, but you said heck.
Excellent.
You're going to hell.
But you just said hell.
No! You're just making it worse for yourself. How could I make it worse for myself? Jehovah! Jehovah! Jehovah!
You know...
And then comes the lightning.
I read something about the Amish people the other day, which really shocked me. I didn't know this, but majority of mobile homes and RVs were made in factories where a lot of Amish people were hired to work.
Oh, yeah.
And that... over the years, the Amish people have quit trying to farm the land. They made more money at the factories than they did on their own friggin' farms. And now that RV and motorhome sales are down, they're going back to the old ways and stuff. It's like...
Progress until it fails. Excellent policy.
Yeah, and they're going, oh, well. But so, you know, that Winnebago that you got, you could have been Amish.
Yes.
Amish... RVs.
If you find beard hairs in between the bolts, you might have been made by Amish.
Nice. Just can't even fathom.
Yeah, it was lame, but what can I say?
Now, they still wouldn't use technology and stuff, but, you know, they'd have to use some power tools and stuff. Oh, boy.
And they use...
Why did this Winnebago fall apart? Seems to be wooden bolts, sir.
Yeah, the Amish, they use wood technology, like in Resident Evil 4. You know, they somehow managed to make it so wood doors have complicated locks that you just you automatically know you can't go in, and then you gotta go around and complete some random puzzle on their farm. Get so many chicken eggs and bake them into like a really fancy omelet to feed to the horse, and that's how you open the front door. That is indeed how the Amish work.
So what you're saying is Amish technology is all based around elaborate baking techniques?
Yes. That and finding ways to produce oil.
Okay, so what you're saying is they're just like the Knights of Nee.
Yes.
We are the Amish of Nee. If you wish to have this RVE, you must bake a pastry! With a herring!
Yes, and then becomes the Amish Iron Chef. See, that's the
Iron
thing.
Iron Chef, yep. America has gotta be, God, the most god-awful... I've never even seen it. I've just seen the commercials. Just like, today's secret ingredient is... hamburger! Oh, who the hell's not going to win that one?
Exactly. That's exactly how they do it.
And they pull back the curtain, there's like 150 pounds of hamburger. Like, oh boy! Let's put it in the patties and put cheese on it!
You know, that's the thing... a very recurring theme lately, and between games like EverQuest and the Amish and Iron Chef, kind of everything is getting overly complex. I mean, before you know it, we're gonna end up with a quest where your character just has to use the bathroom, and he goes and the bathroom attendant's gonna say that some ogre on a mountain halfway across the world stole the key, and you have to go all the way over there just to get it, yep. Kill him, and then bring it back. And then you find out the key's been broken, so you have to go to a locksmith.
Yeah.
But it just... And by this time, you're really doing the pee-pee dance.
Exactly.
Well, screw
this. Your character
gets
its own little animation.
Screw this quest, I've soiled my armor.
Yeah, EQ2 does have bathrooms. There's one in Stormhold.
Really?
Yes. That is a bathroom.
I did not know that.
Well, you know how you go? You know where the chessboard is in Stormhold?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, make a left on the left-hand side of it.
Oh, right.
There's a bathroom. There's little slimy things on the ground. It really needs to be clean, but it needs scrubbing bubbles bad. But, yeah, that's a bathroom in there, guys.
Oh, I didn't know that. Although that raises questions as to how the slimes even got into Stormhold if they're all over that floor.
Don't know.
They could have crawled out of the pipes.
Well, there's not really much of... It's sort of like open holes, you know, and the top. Yeah. There is no toilet paper in there. That's been long gone.
Yes, it rotted.
That's why the slime things are there. You have to pick them up and use them.
Oh!
You have to use the cube when it shows up.
I was just going to say, that's what the cubes are for!
A cube for day! Bidet.
Bidet.
Bidet. I like that word, bidet.
Yeah, it's a fun word.
Another fun word is debauchery.
Ooh, debauchery.
Debauchery that is always fun.
Debauchery?
Jethel loves debauchery.
Do the Sarnak have any words that they like to say? I mean, they're just fun to say.
Soft skin.
You beat me to the punchline.
Ha ha!
Just to steal his material, hon. Geez.
And to think, I had all this build up. I was going to do a little drum roll, you know, the whole thing. Nah. You killed it.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, then. I'll let you have another shot at the cowl then.
Hooray!
Who you want to shoot it at?
This time, she's not listening yet, but she's going to download the podcast. But let's fire it at Phalia.
Phalia!
She'll know who she is.
Let's fire the cowl pulp!
Our guild leader.
Oh, yeah, she's okay.
It probably hit her. She's in, I think, Britain today. How far? What's the range on that catapult?
We actually hit Lucan once, I think.
Ooh, well, that might have.
All right,
might have. Yeah, she's our guild leader over at the Council of Norath. great bunch of folks. Love them all. Have to do a plug.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're kind of getting off subject because I was prepared to kind of answer questions. I'm not good with just kind of coming up with facts on the fly.
Well, that would require me to work. You don't want me to work, do you? Come on. Okay, does anyone in the channel have any questions about Sarnax?
Gotta be somebody. Sarnax,
they're genetically engineered. They're part dragon. They lay eggs. Do they fertilize the eggs out of the... Do you have intercourse is what I'm saying?
Yes.
All
and
right.
That's what I meant by raiding the dungeon.
Hot, sticky Sarnax sex.
Yes.
I like it.
A lot of fire breathing, a lot of roaring.
All right, what are the standard views of the Gorwin Sarnax on the Dazok?
Thank you.
There we go.
Yes. They don't really give a crap about the Dazok. They generally dislike them because, you know, they were trying to enslave them, and that generally will take off any race. If they get the opportunity, their whole thing with making Gorwin kind of a fortress like it is within the volcano is to make sure that their enslavers don't show back up and try to reclaim them.
Mm.
So that they're not quite sure that they have the strength to be able to do anything against them as it is, because they've got Chardok and a good portion of power on Kunark, whereas all they have is this little string of volcanic islands.
Right.
We are building. We will attack.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
We need the evil laugh once in a while.
Oh yeah, once a show, it seems to be the minimum.
Let's see here. What is a Sarnax's favorite color?
Sarnax's favorite color? It depends. Take Garaku, his favorite color was green. He was mostly green. So, it varies from Sarnax to Sarnax, like other races, but they tend to favor one that's on their scales.
Alright.
Also, interesting piece to note, if anybody out there is a fan of the Aragon series, where the dragons generally, every kind of color that, like, the color of the dragon is intensified in their eyesight, the same goes for the Sarnax. If they're a dual color Sarnax, those two colors will be intensified. If it's a one color, that color will be the sole one intensified over all others.
Hmm. Shizuka would like to know what your favorite breakfast cereal is.
Lucan Flakes.
Lucan Flakes.
Yes.
Frosted or unfrosted?
Oh, unfrosted.
With or without oppression?
Oh, added oppression, I think.
All right.
Because that gives us the strength to forward march.
Gotcha. All right, so your favorite breakfast cereal is, of course, Frosted Lucan Flakes with added oppression.
Yes.
Do Sarnax taste like chicken?
Only if they're cooked right.
With chicken gravy.
Yes, exactly. You need chicken broth. Make them into a soup.
There you go. How did the Gorwin Sarnax come to accept refugees from other races, such as the Ixar, Karan, Radanga, and the more popular humanoid races?
Oh, excellent question. The Sarnax, when they started moving in, they realized when the outsiders started showing up that they really don't have... They could fight on their own, but why should they do that when they can start learning from the other races and use what they learn from them to improve themselves. They're a lot like erudites in that way. They're learning constantly from the other races and how they operate so that they can improve their own military force and their own defenses.
Hmm. Alright. So when the races first started going to Gorwin, you guys were eating them all up and beating them to death and stuff like that. And you're like, no, embrace them. They have such to teach us that we will turn around and use against them one day.
Hey, we're not dark elves.
Oh, okay.
Nah, it was more kind of a glower. How do you pronounce that? Glower?
Glower.
oh, okay, flower at them and just kind of stare at them like, okay, what is this this fleshy thing doing here? Poke, poke.
Speaking of fleshy things, Alraina would like to know about the pee-pee.
The what?
Just how hung are the Sarnak? Okay, I'm joking.
Okay, because I have an answer.
All right, go right ahead then. This is the Best of Silverwing Show, folks.
Yes, this is what the warning at the beginning is for, folks. Enjoy.
See, it's just for me.
Yes, it's for Elquin. I had asked that question once to a friend of mine, and he looked at me very seriously, and he said, "How tall are Sarnak when they're standing up straight?" And I said, "Well, I'd say 6 to 8 feet. How tall is a horse when it's standing up straight?" "About the same." There you go.
Ooh.
That was his response.
All right, then.
We just had a digging joke.
Oh, yep. Alfred is now a level 56 wizard. Congratulations to Alfred.
Yay, Alfred. Send me a tail, buddy. I'll buy you an ale.
There we go. Actually, Alfred is a Yurdite.
Oh! Okay, well then send me a tail and I'll send you a spell book.
There we go. Alrighty. Anything else before we close off here tonight? Any pertinent piece of information? Do they have an on and off switch like Data in the Next Generation?
No.
No.
Sorry.
On and off switch. All right.
It's a shame. It's a shame. It really is. But nope, I'm pretty much fresh out. It's midnight. I'm tired.
Yeah, I can understand. Have any shout outs? Anyone you want to say hi to?
Yep, I'm going to give one to Phalia, going to say hi to Varace and everyone in the council, as well as everybody I know.
Alright, well, what is the name of your guild?
The Council of Norath.
The Council of Norath. Have you ever heard my interesting story when I first started EverQuest 1? My first trip to... Okay, Jethel was taken out of the Faerdark very early and planted in Rivervale because, well, Misty Thicket, what we know as the Enchanted Lands, now actually had a very wide variety of levels. The deeper you went into the thicket, the more difficult things were. And, you know, so they figured that was a great place for someone to start off with, so they planted my ass in Rivervale. And I never really saw the Faerdark until I reached, like, level 15. I go to level, and I'm really heavy into roleplay at the time, and back then there weren't a lot of guilds. Not really a lot of guilds.
Yeah.
And I get off the boat in Faedwyr at the Dwarven Docks, and I see a bunch of people, the High Council of Faedwyr.
Oh, boy.
And I'm thinking about, these guys rule the island! That these must be the guys in charge. I've never been here before. But no.
Yeah.
No, that's my cute little roleplay story. Okay,
it's
anyway.
A very cute story. It's a very fun story.
All right, Elquin, anyone you want to shout out to?
No, just everybody I know. Hi, guys.
That's a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
Okay, of course I want to shout out to everyone in the Claymore Coalition. Had some nice roleplay there over the weekend. Appreciate it. Appreciate the help there. Otherwise, Jethel may not be alive today, or he'd be resurrecting from the dead right about now.
Yes.
Santini, Krellic, everyone in the Legion of Kithagor, thanks for tuning in, guys. Alfred, Santania, Rowing, Krellic, Alfred, some chick here named Elquinjena.
Oh, thanks. If you looked in the guild hall, there's some guy running around by the name of Jethel.
Really?
Is, yeah.
I've heard about him.
Oh, we better lock up everything before he...
I've heard about him. He's a bit of an ass. But anyway.
Yes, and between the three of us, all of Norath as a collective just waved.
And, of course, everyone over at the Maiden's Fancy. And, everyone. Love you all. Thanks a lot for tuning in. This is the Jethel Silverwing Show.
Well, all right, that's it for this week's episode of the Gentle Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Gentle Silverwing.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheesy Nibblebuns!
Online Gaming Radio is a proud member of the ZAM Network. Our producer is Dee Pockets. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by the Grassy Knoll. Our spiritual advisor is Al Kilholic. Sensitivity Seminars by Mandy Feldersnatch. And noted contributions by Three Badgers, Two Giant Rats, a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, package of expired Twinkies, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch our show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, at some ungodly hour in the UK. So, for the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, Elquinjena, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.